Thank you, Father. The scripture that we're going to is Malachi 3, verse 6. This is something we would do well to put right down as an anchor to our spirit, down deep. Because the Lord said, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." Now, have you ever heard anybody say, "Well, you know, you never know what God's going to do"? Yeah, you do. You may not know how He's going to do it. I can look at the healing ministry of Jesus where the blind alone came to Him. How many different ways did He have to heal the blind? Go study it out. Never the same. A multitude of ways or means. But the healing was always there because the Word says, "I am the Lord, I change not." So one thing, one person alone in this whole existence of ours can we count on. And that is the Lord our God. His Word is established forever. I don't think I get that. I'll say I. Because sometimes I waver with it when a circumstance rocks me one way or the other. And I have to pull myself into remembrance and guard my heart and diligently stand on the fact that, now wait a minute, you said that. God didn't. Harold, that report came from a man. It didn't come from God. God's Word never changes. So when I know, and I don't mean know in my thinking and acknowledge it, you know, in my mind. I'm talking about when I know deep down in my spirit what God is, who He is, how He works, and what He says about Himself. If I didn't do anything but study what He says about Himself, then I'd be rock solid because I would know. God didn't say that because He doesn't talk like that to me or anybody else. So I know that's not God, and I can push that away with my spirit man. I can push that right out of my natural thinking. I'm going to hear junk because I'm in the world. And I will tell you this, who you hang with will have the greatest influence on you. Jesus says, "Hang with me. I hung for you. The least you can do is hang with me and listen to what I have to say." You listen to the TV. You listen to the, you go searching on the internet for disease symptoms and figure out what you've got. You let a man or a woman in a lab jacket tell you what's wrong with you. We go to everybody in the world, and then when we hear what we know we're not going to want to hear, we come whining to God and ask Him to help us. And He is so merciful and kind that He does it. But why do we do that? Because we've been programmed in a natural body most of our lives before we're born again. And we have got to understand, folks, that this season that we're going into is a season for grown-up believers who are pressing toward the mark of coming up to the measure of the standard. There's only one, and He's not going to change. Yes, He came down to be as we are, only to prove that in this physical body, as a man, we can obey God by the Spirit of God. Jesus learned obedience. We must learn obedience. He's our pattern. We have got to grow up. And the only way we're going to do that, we think we're going to do exploits and then run out of the church and gossip and talk about each other and live any old sinful way we want to. We're not going to do exploits that way. We want to do things for God. Jesus said, that when, and it was in the same context I was talking about earlier, "I'm leaving this place naturally. Because as long as I stay here naturally..." Now, He didn't do it till it was time, because some people tried to help Him leave naturally. They tried to throw Him off a cliff. They tried to kill Him before He said, "My time isn't full. It's not time yet." But when it was time, He said, "No man takes my life. Get this straight. I'm laying it down because it's time for me to lay down this physical body, because as long as I'm in a physical body, I'm limited. and people are going to depend on me physically. And Jesus himself, and we'll get to that eventually, said that the time has come not to know me in the natural anymore. And that was hard for his disciples to accept. But he said, it's going to be a better covenant that I'm going to bring for you. I'm going to ratify it in my blood, but I'm going to resurrect. And then I want you to be where I am. I want to be where you are. I'm going to be wherever you are by my Spirit. Okay? And the Spirit of the living God is going to be able to come dwell inside your natural physical tent of a body, because you're going to be able to be born again, and holy God can come live in a born-again spirit. Your spirit is going to be made new. And then you are going to grow in that spiritual dominion, that kingdom of God on the inside of you, the rule of God. See, we've ruled our own lives as natural men for so long that it's hard to give up the rule. We say Jesus is Lord. Well, is he? Because Lord means supreme in authority, which brings me to a couple more scriptures. Now, God said, I am the Lord, I change not. I'm not going to change. It's going to come just the way I said it's going to come, from the Genesis to the Revelation. I've seen the end from the beginning, and every bit of it is going to come according to the way that the Lord has designed it. It's going to happen just like God said. Don't you think some natural government is going to get us out of trouble? It ain't going to happen, because God said every kingdom that's man-made is coming down. Every kingdom will fall. But the word, my word, is forever established. Heaven and earth, as you know it, are going to pass away, he said. In his word, he says that. That means heaven's going to pass away. Earth's going to pass away as we know it. We're way too familiar with this earth. We're just pilgrims passing through this earth. But you can tell the seasons. You can tell when a leaf falls. We know when the earth changes. But we don't believe that the God who created it said it's going to pass away, but he did. We better believe it, because he said heaven and earth is going to pass away, but my word is forever established. It will never die. It's incorruptible seed. And who has access to that seed? We do. And who is that word? Jesus. Jesus will never, ever die. He is eternal. He is our eternal life. We're in him and he's in us. That makes us one with the Father. So you see, the very eternal one who's never ever going to change is ours if we really want him. And you know, he wants us more than we want him. The treasure of heaven lives on the inside of us by his Holy Spirit. We carry him around every day. We carry him into every place that we go. We carry him into every action that we perform. We carry him into every word that we say. Holy Spirit is in us. Are we being led by him? Because he's always with us. So when I think that way, am I listening to you, Holy Spirit? Is that you in me? I know if it is and if it isn't. So do you. Am I acting like you, Jesus? Am I being led by your Holy Spirit? Is this what you would do, Jesus? Holy Spirit will tell us yes or no by the word. Is this what you would say? Is this how you would say it? Is this when you would say it? Holy Spirit will lead us from the inside out. See, we're programmed from the outside in, naturally. Everything we learn to read is out here. You know, smell, sounds, touch, sight, all those physical senses take in information from the minute we come into the planet. And we have to not unlearn those things, because they're, I mean, you've got you got walking around sense. You need to see and hear to function in the earth. But there is a greater one who lives on the inside of us, whose power superimposes everything that we come against. And he's never going to change. So here's my dilemma as a believer. I still have a natural mind. I didn't lose it when I got born again. It has to be reprogrammed. I mean, I have a brain, okay? But I have potential to have the mind of Christ, to reprogram my thinking. I still have a natural body. It didn't get glorified when I got born again. It will, though. The Holy Spirit inside me is the down payment on that. That's my guarantee that I will have a resurrected body. But for the time being, the one I'm, you know, certified to operate in the earth in is this physical one that I'm in. This is my passport in the earth. So my dilemma as a believer is to train this inward man on the inside of me till he grows up so that he can govern this outward man, so that I no longer do the things that I want to do, but I do the things that God wants me to do, and to the point that I really am, it's one and the same. I want to do the things God wants me to do. That's when I'm maturing. Okay? When my desires become God's desires. He gives me the desires of my heart when they align with His heart. Of course He will. That's why Jesus said, ask anything you will in my name. And it'll be done for you, I assure you. Because when your heart's in that place, you're asking the will of the Father. And it'll always be done. Okay? Here's another verse for us. Hebrews 13:8. We say, yeah, well, that's God. Yeah, He's always the same. Well, let's look at Hebrews 13:8, New Testament. Jesus Christ is the same. It sounds like God, doesn't it? He doesn't change. When is He the same? Yesterday, today, and just in case there's any doubt about how this sequence goes, and forever. So when is Jesus not going to be the same? He's never not going to be the same. He's always going to be the same. Old Testament, New Testament, God won't change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, think about this. Then the more I hang out with Jesus, and the more He becomes my primary source of influence, and the more His Word becomes my primary source of information, and I'm talking about a growth process here, the more I choose Jesus' company over, I don't mean over people, because Jesus was always giving His life to people. And then when the people went to bed, He went to His Father, okay? I'm talking about loving people because I love Jesus more. I'm talking about treating people right so that I can win them. It's the goodness of God that causes people to repent, not me shaking my bony, preachy finger at them or thumping them on the head with my Bible. They're running away by the thousands with that kind of legalistic treatment. Who wants that? I don't. Jesus doesn't treat me that way. Why would I do that to somebody else? Jesus doesn't judge me and condemn me for my sins. In fact, He bled and died for my sins. Why would I do that to somebody else? When I grow up as a believer, I won't do that. And then people won't have so much trouble coming into my presence, because they're not coming into a bless me exclusive club that they might get to join one day if they clean up their act enough. No, they're coming into the love of God that says, I know they just drug you out of a bed with a man you weren't married to, but I'm not going to condemn you. Oh, no, we're going to go gossip about everybody, and if there's not something to tell, we'll make it up. Well, believers, true believers don't act that way. People in love with Jesus don't act that way. Now, the more in love with Jesus I am, the more like Him I'll become, because I'm going to be with Him more. And you might be talking and fussing and carrying on, but if I'm with Jesus on the inside, you're not really bothering me on the outside. I'm surely not going to engage in it. I might just not answer you, or I might just walk off from you, or I might just stand there and pray in the Spirit for you. But I don't have to engage in that. I don't have to listen to it, and I don't have to become part of it. I don't have to become one with that, because I know that's not Jesus. Jesus is never going to change on me. You have people that you're around, and sometimes they're really, really, you know, sweet to you. They're usually wanting something. And then the next time you see them, you know, they talk to you like a dog. They don't need anything. Well, Jesus will never, ever, ever, not in a forever million years, however long that is, He'll never do you that way. His love will never stop short of loving you and me. His faith in our faith in Him will never run out, because He's constantly drawing us so that we can know Him and hear Him and have faith. He'll never not have faith in His body to grow up, because it says we're predestined to be conformed to His image. That's the next scripture, Romans 8:29. This is the way it's planned out, y'all. This is a beautiful thing. Because once we're believers, and this is who this scripture is talking about here. See, in the book of Romans, like in chapter 7, Paul is talking about this very thing that we've been talking about. I am in a fix, he says. There's a war going on the inside of me. Because the things that I don't want to do, those are the things I find myself doing. And the things that I do want to do, those are the things I don't do and I don't get done. And then he says, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from all this? This is right at the end of chapter 7. A wretched man that I am, verse 24, who will deliver me from this body of death that I'm in? And then the answer is right in the next verse. Thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right there is our answer. How am I going to win this tug of war? When the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's weak in its want to for God, but boy, it's strong when it wants its way, isn't it? And how long will I let my flesh override my spirit? I don't have to live that way. In fact, I'm not supposed to. Now let's go on to the scripture that I was saying. In Romans 8, jump on over there to chapter 8 and look in verse 29. For whom he foreknew. Well, let's back up a verse. And we know. Do we? Do we really know this? That all things work together for good. Now, does that mean all things are good? No, it doesn't say that all things are good for the believer. It says that all things work together for good, or cooperate for good for the believer. Because, you know, you can ask Joseph, just when they throw you in the pit, somebody will come along and buy you out, and God will be in that. Just when they send you to, you know, think they're going to lock you in a place where you can't fulfill your purpose, God will give you a dream that will get you out. Just when somebody accuses you falsely and has you, you know, shut out of all your potential, God will come along and make a way for you to get right where He wanted you in the first place. It doesn't look like, you know, being thrown in a pit was not fun. Being sold into slavery was not a good thing. Being falsely accused of making advances toward somebody's wife was not a good thing. Those weren't good things in Joseph's life. But God used all those things to cooperate for His good and got him into the very country where He wanted him to be second in command and have a realm of influence unprecedented. A Jew in Egypt with that kind of influence, second only to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh listened to everything he said. Okay? All things work together for good, and we know that, to those who, and here are the conditions, who love God. Do we? To those who are the called according to His purpose. Are we? The answers are yes and yes. So settle that. If your answers are yes, I love Him, and yes, I know I'm called according to His purpose, then settle this, because God's not going to change His word. He said, all things are going to work together for your good. Settle it. They will. It doesn't look like it. That's out here. In here, I know they will. How do I know? Because God said so. For whom He foreknew, did He know you? Before you even arrived on the planet, before you even were conceived, He told Jeremiah, before your mother conceived you. Now that, y'all, that's way on. That's before the sperm and the egg connected. And those, you know, that seed carries all the characteristics, all the potential that's going to be that particular child. It matters which sperm gets with which egg. All right? That makes the child be who the child is. Male or female, physical characteristics, personality, everything about the child is there in that potential. And God said, before that happened, I knew you. And I had called you or ordained you a prophet to the nations. That's what He told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:5. Then over in the New Testament, Paul says this, I was separated from my mother's womb to preach the gospel. Now, it took him a while to get there, but that didn't change what God said about him, did it? And he knew that. Well, do you think that God is, does He play favorites? Does he show partiality? Is He a respecter of persons? The Word tells us He's not, and He's not going to change. So then I know that before I was conceived in my mother's womb, He knew me. And you can know that before you were conceived in your mother's womb, He knew you. And you know, it doesn't even matter who your mom and daddy were. It doesn't matter whether you came because they wanted you to or not. God wanted you to. And that's really all that matters in the long and short of it. God wanted you here. And you know what else? He wanted you here now. For such a time as this, you were born in your exact season. Because God had any time He wanted to, in the whole span of eternity, to make you. He already knew you. But He had any opportunity, any day He wanted to send you into earth. He picked the day. Now, men think they do this and they do that. I know they can induce labor and I know they can select birthdays. But do you not think God already knew what they were going to do? So He just lets them do it on the day that He has planned anyway. Okay? We don't know. We don't have a decent thought without God. We can't do anything without Him. John 5:30, Jesus said, of Myself I can do nothing, but I do what My Father tells Me, and I never miss the mark, and it produces amazing things out of the kingdom of God. That's how He wants us to live. Okay? And here's the proof of it. Let's keep reading. For whom He foreknew, have we established that He foreknew us? He also predestined. Now, this is the one time where we're predestined. This means we don't have any choice about this as far as what our destiny is if we'll cooperate. That's our choice. We can cooperate or not. But that's rebellion if we don't. We already talked about what that'll do for us, right? That'll take us right out of the purpose of God like it did Saul. Because he thought he knew something God didn't. He just thought his way was better because it appealed to people. Well, how many people have missed the mark because we thought our way would be better because it would make more people happy? No, God doesn't change. And when He tells us a thing, He means exactly what He says. He's not going to be one way one day and one day one way the next. He's not going to lovey-dovey you one day and beat you with a stick the next. Okay? God doesn't change. He is love. God is love. Okay? Settle it. So whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, his Son, Jesus, might be the firstborn of many brethren. Now you heard the prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17. Father, may they come to know by being one with me, and so one with you, that you love them just the same way you love me, Father. That's what I pray for my disciples. Do you know that's the assurance that Jesus wants us to walk in this earth? My Father God loves me so much that I'm just like Jesus to him. I'm just like his firstborn to him, even though I'm adopted in. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I have the same rights and privileges in the Father's house that Jesus does because I'm in Jesus, okay? And he's in me. And so Jesus could say this at Lazarus' tomb when he's about to raise a dead man. Father, I thank you that you hear me always. How could he say that? Because he knew what his Father's word was. He knew what his Father's will was. He talked to the Father all the time. He said, I know you hear me all the time. And then the scripture teaches us that we can have this same confidence. He said, if you pray, Paul wrote this, if you pray anything according to the word. So what do we have to know before our prayer life's even effective? The word. Then you have this confidence that God hears you. He hears his own word. He recognizes his own word. He says to put him in remembrance of it, but that's not because of he's forgotten it. It's because he wants us to remember it so that we can put him in remembrance of it. We don't have to remind God. He's not like, oops, I forgot I said I'd do that. Now, that's how people act. Okay, but we don't have to be that way either. Wishy-washy is not God. Haphazard is not God. On again, off again is not God. Lukewarm is not God. He said, I wish you'd either be hot or cold. Get with it. Don't be unemotional about me. Don't be undecided about me. Don't be, you know, anything about me. Be hot or cold, but you know what he wants. Be hot. Passionately love me, and let me passionately love you. Fervently pray. Pray with heat. Pray with conviction, and let me show you what I'll do. He says, be conformed to the image of my Son. We are to be conformed. I want to show you that word conformed before we have to stop tonight. Miss Lena, if we could get that scripture up in 29, Romans, 8:29? Let's look at that word conformed just a moment. So you see, we have a destiny in Jesus while she's pulling that up. We have a destiny in Jesus. And that is, it's the Father's good pleasure that we do this. He says, grow up. You remember the other night when he told us to put on our combat boots? Well, soldiers need boots. Okay? You don't put combat boots on babies and children. Now, we're to have a childlike spirit about us that trusts and obeys. But it's time to grow up. And if we're going to become spiritual beings in this earth, in the bodies of men and women, we're going to have to grow up into supernatural Father by means of supernatural Jesus and the supernatural Holy Spirit. There is a, super just means above, okay? There's a whole kingdom operating above the earthly kingdom. And the kingdom of God is superior to the earthly kingdoms in every way, whatever kingdom it is. And we're to grow up out of these kingdoms and let them be subdued in us and decrease in us. As His kingdom increases in us, then His kingdom can increase through us to the point that supernatural is happening through us just like it did through Jesus. We're His body, aren't we? Has He changed? So when it says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, except that just applies to the head and not the body. Is that the way that scripture reads? Is the head one way and the body another? No. We're the same yesterday, today, and forever too in Jesus. Look at this word. He predestinated us to be conformed. And that word is made up of two words. Can that slide over just a little bit? If it'll let you grab it. It might. There you go. I love this definition. We're to be conformed to, what does it say? Let me make sure I got it right. The image of His Son. Jointly formed. Jointly formed. That means I don't have to do this. In fact, I can't. I don't have to do this alone. Who is my empowerer? Who did Jesus say to wait on until you receive power to be witnesses? The Holy Spirit. I'm going to be conformed to the image of Jesus jointly by the one who's come to live on the inside of me, who's going to lead me and guide me and bear witness to all truth. And His name is the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's not an it. All right? So my spirit is going to be overshadowed and overwhelmed in the Holy Spirit as I'm being conformed to the image of Jesus. He is going to help me conform. He's going to help me say, nevertheless, not my will, but Your will, Father. He's going to teach me and train me as I grow up into Jesus, okay? So that my spirit man inside can dominate and govern and rule my outward man, natural man, that's still on the outside of me. So that spirit dominates flesh. So that godliness dominates carnality. So that spirit in me is Jesus living through me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives through me. Christ lives in me by His Holy Spirit. It's time to get spiritual. It's time to grow up. And the sons of God, they are the ones who are led by the Spirit of God. And we already know that it's God's will that Jesus have many brothers and sisters. And that's us. Okay? And they're going to know that we are His brothers and sisters because we're going to look just like Him. I'm not talking physical appearance. He said, don't know me after the flesh. Know me after the Spirit. And everybody will be able to tell we're related. They'll know you're my kin because of your Spirit. Amen? Amen. Go ahead. Give me another one. All right. Well, glory.
That is dynamite.
You go ahead and shout. And we're going to, I know, have you already stopped us, Lynn? All right. Well, I was going to say, we'll start right there next time.
Not only are you called of God, predestined of God, and called. He's predestined you, called you. He is not, and he's justified you. And then he goes one step farther, and he glorified them. Look out, devil. When the glory of the Lord comes down, I said, look out. That's when the devil caves in. You want to see demons and devils cry out in the service? Let the glory of God come down. And if you see people sick, there ain't got to be no sickness left in the house. When the glory comes down.
Yes.
He glorifies that predestined, called, ordained vessel.
Yeah.